Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Mario Ritter. Today, we talk about the balance of work and family.
We will talk about the issue of women who take time off from work to have a baby without getting paid. The U.S. does not mandate or require businesses to pay workers who are sick or caring for a new baby. Some offer paid leave as an incentive, a pay benefit designed to build employee loyalty.
President Obama and some other U.S. lawmakers want to change time off or leave policies. Supporters say paid leave is the right thing to do and that the rest of the world seems to be able to do it. Opponents say it will hurt economic growth. Anna and Christopher Jones Cruz bring us this story.
The United States does not require businesses to pay workers who are sick or caring for a new baby. President Obama and some other U.S. lawmakers want to change time off or leave policies. Supporters say paid leave is the right thing to do. Opponents say it will kill economic growth. Recently, a woman named Jenny Cheek became pregnant while she worked for the U.S. government in Washington, D.C. She planned to take a few months off work to have and care for the new baby. She was surprised to learn her job would not pay her for the time off.
The U.S. federal government, like most American businesses, does not offer paid family leave to have a baby or care for family members. The federal government does, however, give workers a few weeks of paid vacation time every year.
So instead of using her vacation time to go to the beach or go camping, Ms. Cheek did what many Americans do. She used her vacation time to stay home with her newborn.
After that, she used what is called leave without pay. In other words, she did not lose her job, but she did not earn any money either.
In the end, Ms. Cheek and her husband decided they would support their family on his paycheck alone. Jenny Cheek became a stay-at-home mom.
To fix the tires? Driving a dump truck, that's hard work.
She says she loves to play trucks all day with her child, but she wonders why the U.S. cannot find a way to help people balance work with caring for a family.
Almost every other country in the world has figured out a way to make this happen. There's no way I could have been an attentive mom, a dedicated mom in the same way if I was worried every single day about how I was going to pay the bills.
In 2014, the United Nations reported that Papua New Guinea and the U.S. are the only two out of 185 countries in the world that do not offer workers paid time off to care for newborns. However, several state governments and some private businesses in the U.S. have provided the benefits for their workers. Not every American agrees that requiring businesses to pay workers for leave is a good idea.
Tricia Baldwin is a businesswoman. She is secretary and treasurer for her family's company. Reliable Contracting has been operating successfully for more than 80 years. She says paid leave is simply another government order or mandate that adds more costs to doing business.
It's just adding another cost, another mandate to the company.
Ms. Baldwin's company employs 400 workers. She says giving all of them paid leave would ruin her company. Instead, reliable contracting gives paid leave to employees who have stayed with the company for at least 5 years.
We've been around for over 85 years. We like to take care of our employees and make sure that they're successful.
After a short break, we will continue to tell you about President Obama's position on the issue of paid leave. We will also hear how this issue divides Democrats and Republicans, the two main political parties in the U.S.
Welcome back to As It Is. We just heard from two women, one a new mother and the other a business owner, who have very different feelings on the issue of paid leave in the United States.
President Obama says the U.S. is the only developed country that does not have a law requiring paid leave for having a baby. Some in the U.S. are trying to change that. Opponents, however, say it will be too costly for businesses. Now we hear how U.S. lawmakers are considering this issue. Again, here are Christopher Jones-Cruz and Anna.
President Obama supports paid leave for workers. Recently, he proposed a measure called the Healthy Family Act. It would allow workers to earn up to 7 paid days of sick leave a year to care for themselves or family members. Mr. Obama also wants Congress to approve a measure giving all workers 6 weeks of paid leave to have and care for a new baby.
U.S. lawmakers who support the proposed measure say paid leave is good for the families and for businesses. Representative Don Beyer says paid leave is an incentive to parents to return to the job. Mr. Beyer says training a new employee can cost a company a year's worth of income.
But U.S. lawmakers who oppose the bill say they do not want to restrict businesses by requiring them to provide paid leave. They are offering a different measure. The Working Families Flexibility Act would allow employees to work extra hours and earn either time off or more pay.
The U.S. Department of Labor also supports changing paid leave policies. U.S. Secretary of Labor Tom Perez published an article on his department's website. He says the U.S. needs to learn from other countries.
Secretary Perez writes that Canada, the United Kingdom, Australia, and Brazil guarantee between 15 and 24 weeks of paid leave for mothers with newborns. Some countries also offer other benefits, such as paid leave for fathers to care for children. I'm Christopher Jones-Cruz.
I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Mario Ritter.
Many listeners wrote to us and shared the paid leave situation in their countries. Check out their comments on our website at learningenglish.voanews.com.
Carolyn Prasuti reported this story for VOA News from the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. Anna Mateo wrote it based on Ms. Prasuti's report and other research for Learning English.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
Thank you.
now the VOA Learning English program, Words and Their Stories. People who believe in luck and bad luck. That is to say, those considered superstitious may think that some days or events are unlucky. In the United States, Friday the 13th is known as an unlucky day by superstitious people. Another famously unlucky day for some is March 15th, also known as the Ides of March. The Ides of March is so unlucky that it is often spoken as a warning. Beware the Ides of March. First, what exactly is an Ides? The Latin root of Ides, a singular word, means to divide. So the Ides of any month falls in its middle. The Roman calendar set Ides on the 15th in March, May, July, and October, or on the 13th in the other months. The Ides of a month usually falls on the first day of a full moon. In Roman times, the Ides of March was known as a date for paying off debts. But this connection was quickly lost because of different timing between calendar months and changes in the moon's appearance. The Ides of March was also a time people celebrated Mars, the god of war. But why do some people still use the expression, beware of the Ides of March? Why do they consider it an unlucky day? March 15th was very unlucky for one man a very long time ago. On that date, in the year 44 BC, Julius Caesar was killed. The British playwright William Shakespeare takes this incident from Roman history and freezes it forever in literature. In Act 1, Scene 2 of Julius Caesar, Shakespeare writes about a meeting between the dictator and a soothsayer, someone who can predict the future. Beware the Ides of March, says the soothsayer.
Caesar asks, what man is that?
And Brutus, Caesar's loyal friend, answers, a soothsayer says to beware the Ides of March.
Caesar does not listen to the warning. He should have. In Act 3, Scene 1, Shakespeare's famous line seems to show that Caesar is asking for trouble.
Caesar says to the soothsayer, the Ides of March are come.
The soothsayer answers, aye, Caesar, but not gone.
Caesar's friend Brutus will be among the attackers who kill him on the Ides of March.
When he sees that Brutus has turned against him, he says,
hey, too, Brutus. This means, you too, Brutus.
This expression is widely used in Western culture when someone is betrayed by a friend. The Ides of March is also the name of a U.S. film made in 2011. George Clooney directed the film. He also stars in it as a promising presidential candidate. While no one gets assassinated, The Ides of March is a film about a friend being disloyal to a friend in the world of politics. Often in politics, loyalty and friendship do not go hand in hand. Julius Caesar learned this the hard way on The Ides of March. I'm Anna Mateo, thanking Christopher Jones Cruz for playing Julius Caesar and Jonathan Evans for playing Brutus.
I'm Shirley Griffith.
And I'm Christopher Cruz with People in America in VOA Special English. Today, we tell about Patricia Neal, a famous actress who reached the top of her profession, but had many personal tragedies.
In the 1940s and 50s, one American actress could be identified by listening to her speak just a few words.
I didn't want to be tied to anything. I wanted to destroy it rather than let it be part of a world where beauty and genius and greatness have no chance.
That was Patricia Neal in the 1949 film The Fountainhead.
She was named Patsy Louise Neal when she was born in 1926 in Packard, Kentucky, a coal mining camp. Her father was a manager at a coal mine. Packard no longer exists. It disappeared, as mining camps often do, and few people remember it. But Packard's most famous daughter is remembered for her great beauty, success, talent, bravery, and activism. Later, the family moved to Knoxville, Tennessee. Patricia began acting as a teenager. She studied drama at Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois, for 2 years, but left to go to New York City. In 1947, she won a Tony Award, the first year the awards were given, for her first Broadway performance. She played a teenage girl in Another Part of the Forest, written by Lillian Hellman. Her success on Broadway quickly brought offers from Hollywood filmmakers. By the age of 21, Patricia Neal was on the cover of Life magazine. Being on the cover meant you were a star. Millions of Americans read the magazine every week.
Soon after Patricia Neal arrived in Hollywood, she met Gary Cooper, one of the most famous movie stars of the time. They starred together in The Fountainhead, in 1949. It was the film version of Ayn Rand's famous book.
Come in. I expected you to come here.
I didn't know your name. You knew mine. But you haven't tried to find me in all these months.
I wanted you to find me and have to come to me.
If it gives you pleasure to know that you're breaking me down, I'll give you a greater satisfaction. I love you, Rourke. Would it please you to hear that I've lived in torture all these months? Hoping never to find you again and wishing to give my life just to see you once more. But you knew that, of course. That's what you wanted me to live through.
Gary Cooper was 48 years old and married. Patricia Neal was just 23. But they soon became lovers. Their 3-year love affair ended when Cooper refused to leave his wife and daughter for Neal, even after Neal became pregnant with his child. This hurt Patricia Neal terribly. She had an illegal abortion. She suffered an emotional collapse. She left Hollywood and moved to New York City.
In 1953, she met and married the British writer Roald Dahl. More than 30 years later, she said in an interview that she did not love Dahl when she married him, but she wanted very much to be a mother.
So I thought, well, I will marry him because he will give me divine children. And I wanted children so much. You have no idea how much I wanted children. And that is really why I married Roald Dahl, because I thought I would never be deeply in love again, because I had been deeply in love with Gary Cooper.
They moved to England, where they had five children. In the 1950s, Patricia Neal again appeared on Broadway. In 1957, she returned to film and starred in A Face in the Crowd, directed by Elia Kazan. But two tragedies happened to Neal and Dahl in the 1960s. Their infant son, Theo, suffered brain damage when a car hit him in New York City. Their 7-year-old daughter, Olivia, died from the disease measles.
Patricia Neal lived in England with her husband and children, but she continued to make movies in Hollywood. In 1964, she received an Academy Award for Best Actress. She won the award for her performance as Alma, the housekeeper in the movie HUD, starring Paul Newman.
Do you ever ask?
Well, the only question I ever ask any woman is, what time is your husband coming home?
I'd say I've been asked with a little more finesse in my time.
I'll bring you a 2-pound box of candy and maybe a bottle of perfume from the drugstore.
Oh, thanks. I've done my time with one cold-blooded bastard. I'm not looking for another.
It's too late, honey. You already found him.
In 1965, a year after she won the Oscar, Patricia Neal suffered 3 strokes. She was 39 years old and 3 months pregnant with her 5th child. She was unconscious for 3 weeks. When she woke up, she was blind and could not speak, and she was unable to move parts of her body. She was in such terrible condition that Variety, a national entertainment newspaper, reported that she had died.
I've read about my death in the paper.
The report read, Patricia Neal, 39, last year's Oscar-winning Best Actress, who won 5 prizes for her first Broadway performance in 1947, died last night at UCLA Medical Center. The report was wrong, but not by much. She was near death. It was 3 months before she was able to walk again and speak a little. Her husband forced her to improve, but every day was difficult. She said she hated life. I wanted to commit suicide, she said, but I didn't know how. 6 months after the strokes, she gave birth to a healthy daughter named Lucy. She believes the strokes kept her from becoming a major star.
I just won the Academy Award. I was going to go sensational. I was going to get the most heavenly parts in the world. I would win Oscar after Oscar after Oscar.
You were 39 years old at the beginning, in fact, of a career.
And it was killed.
But by 1968, she was back in the movies. The strokes affected her brain so much that it was very difficult for her to remember her lines. But she worked hard, and she received an Academy Award nomination for her role in The Subject Was Roses. She played an angry mother who uses her son as a weapon against her husband.
Lady comes to the gate, dressed in lavender and leather.
In 1978, she dedicated the Patricia Neal Rehabilitation Center in Knoxville, Tennessee. The center helps people who have had strokes. Patricia Neal raised money for children and adults who had suffered brain injuries. She showed that a brain injury did not mean the end of life or the end of joy. She said, "I can't see from one eye. I've been paralyzed. I've fallen down and broken a hip. Stubbornness gets you through the bad times. Don't give in." In 1983, Patricia Neal suffered another personal tragedy. She learned that her husband had been having a long relationship with her closest friend. After 30 years in England, she ended her marriage and returned to the United States.
Patricia Neal was 84 when she died of lung cancer in 2010. She had made almost 40 movies. They include The Day the Earth Stood Still and Breakfast at Tiffany's. She had worked with the most famous actors of her time. She also appeared in many television programs. She had had a productive career, but it was not everything she had wanted it to be. She wished she had become a great star. A friend remembered her as one of the most extraordinary women of our time. She was constantly inspiring everyone for her courage and dedication, whether on stage, in motion pictures, or in her personal life. She maintained her unique beauty and personality.
Jenny Morrow raises money to support the Patricia Neal Rehabilitation Center. She said, "Patricia Neal faced severe problems with such style and grace. She was so inspirational to the patients. She stopped to hear their stories, held their hands, and applauded their success. And she knew about the value of applause."
Patricia Neal struggled back to a productive life after many personal and professional problems. She helped others who were recovering from strokes. But one writer said after she died, she wished to be remembered not for gossip or for her personal life, but for her performances on stage and screen. In 2005, Patricia Neal said, "I am an actress, and I will take any good part as long as I can stand up. And when I can no longer do that, I will take them lying down." After she died, the New York Times newspaper wrote that her life moved back and forth between victory and tragedy. A book about her is called Patricia Neal, An Unquiet Life. That seems like a good way to describe the life she lived.
I've loved being here.
This program was written by Christopher Cruz and produced by Dana Demange. I'm Shirley Griffith.
And I'm Christopher Cruz. Our programs are online with transcripts and MP3 files at voaspecialenglish.com. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at VOA Learning English. Join us again next week for People in America in VOA Special English.